You know, we're a very practical and pragmatic kind of people. Generally speaking, I think this is true. If you go in any bookstore, you find a huge section of books on how to do almost anything, because we want to get in there and do it ourselves, whether it's plumbing, I'm not very good at that, or electrical kinds of things, I'm not good at that either. Or whether it's building a house, I'm not good at that either. If I go through this how-to kind of thing, I don't think there's probably very many things that I'm very good at. At any rate, there's that sort of thing prevalent in our society. And I think it's because we are a very pragmatic kind of people. And the book of Hebrews doesn't neglect the very practical, the how-to, if you will. And that's what we have in Hebrews chapter 13. Some would call it mundane even, down to earth. These are simple exhortations, and they really stem from the writer to the Hebrews already saying to us in the 12th chapter, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. Now he's telling us how to do that a little bit. And in chapter 12, in verse 25, he says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is seeking. And we're saying, well, how do you do that? Now the writer to the Hebrews, in the very end of the book, is getting down to those practical matters. In verse 28, which we looked at last week, it says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Now the writer to the Hebrews is giving us some ideas on how to do just that. But I think that's the linkage in our text this morning, that we're driven back to some basic doctrine and we're shown how to execute the love of God, that unshakable kingdom of which we're a part, how we're to live it out in this world. And so the very simple statement which I have set before you in the outline is this. Since love is the abiding Christian quality and the essence of the unshakable kingdom, it must be worked out in daily life. And the very fact that we are given exhortations in this text this morning indicates something which God says we must do. And so we're given how we are to live out the love of God as a part of that unshakable kingdom which has been given to us. Let us, first of all, let love of the brethren continue. Well, it should be obvious, I think, that this is a subheading under a greater heading of love in general. Let love of the brethren continue. And again, I'm driven back to the end of chapter 12. Verse 27 says, and this expression yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What is it that cannot be shaken? What is that unshakable kingdom? Dear friends, it is the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. And that rule of Jesus Christ comes to expression very explicitly in the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. And they're wonderful. This Friday and Saturday, as I mentioned earlier, we had a men's retreat in Clay Center, and Dr. Wayne Spear, who teaches at the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary in Pittsburgh was a speaker, and he talked about the Westminster Assembly 350 years ago, writing about what we're talking about here. And he pointed out how in the larger catechism which they had written, that those theologians of old were very explicit in saying that the commandments of God were given to us graciously by God as a means by which we can show thankfulness and gratitude to God. We can take, for example, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Why is it that once a year you ladies are wearing corsages? Why is it once a year that this is a special day to honor mothers? Shouldn't that be the case every day of the year? And shouldn't Father's Day be every day of the year? Shouldn't that really be the case? Yeah, it should be. Because here is an opportunity for us to show gratitude to our God. And dear friends, if we are recipients of the Holy Spirit of the living God, that Spirit who is poured out not only upon us, but within us, draws us and causes us, as Ezekiel says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that self-same Spirit causes us to be very careful to observe all of the ordinances and the statutes of the living God. To make as our primary purpose in life to show gratitude to God. How wonderful it is. And so under that heading, under that more general heading, the writer to the Hebrews says, let brotherly love continue. Of course, the word that is translated love of the brethren or brotherly love is that word that the city of Philadelphia gets its name from, brotherly love. Philadelphia is not a particularly great city to live in because it's not living up to that name. And a lot of large cities like the city of Wichita is not living up to that name. But in this context, in the context of the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called by Jesus Christ to excel in this quality of life, love of the brotherhood, love of one another, love, dear friends, the essence, if you will, of this spiritual kingdom of which we are a part. Keep your finger there in Hebrews 12 and turn back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. If you're following along in the read through the Gospel schedule that we have, you've started the Gospel of John. John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let love of the brethren continue. That's the great identification mark of the Church of Jesus Christ. And look at John 15. Verse 8, we have a similar statement by Jesus Christ. John 15:8 says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What a wonderful thing. Bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Do you remember? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. The very first fruit of the Spirit is that love. Let love of the brethren continue. And friends, it's an exhortation given to us this morning because it's something that we have to work on. Each one of us has to work on this. It's not something that comes naturally so much as it is something which we see needs to take place, and when opportunity arises, we need to launch forth and we need to work on it. Let love of the brethren continue. Abide. Hebrews 13 again. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. There's a shift now. Let love continue in the brotherhood. But also, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. The general category is, do not neglect to show hospitality. Does this not also come under the general heading of love? The general heading being that love which is poured out in the hearts of men and women by the Holy Spirit. Coming under that, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality. I'd like to show you a couple of other texts in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Interesting, isn't it? Do you have others in your home to feed them, to shelter them with joy? Is that your posture? In our house, I don't know why this has happened, except that we live across the street from Sterling College. But our house, I think, has become an annex to the student union. What a wonderful thing. Boy, do I get worn out. But what a wonderful thing. Irma and I were at dinner with a couple of weeks ago. They have a daughter the same age as one of our daughters. And you know what they were saying? Boy, I wish the kids would come over to our house. And we're saying, you ought to come over to our house. Hospitality. That's what it's about. And I thank God for that. I really do. But the interesting thing is that the writer to the Hebrews is now a little bit more explicit. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, to foreigners, to those who are outside the pale of your normal day-to-day life. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. You remember Abraham there camped on the plains of Mamre, and here come three men walking in the distance. And Abraham says to Sarah, go quick, fix a kid, need some bread, fix a meal, and these men come and eat. And lo and behold, two of those men are angels of the living God. And one of those men, it appears, is a theophany, a coming of the Lord in the form of a man to speak to Abraham and to Sarah and to tell them that they're going to have a child. Sarah laughed. Entertaining angels unexpectedly. And there was the father and the mother of Samson. And Samson's mother runs and tells Manoah, a man of God has come and visited us. And guess what he's told us? We're going to have a child. And he's given us directions concerning the coming of this child. And so Manoah runs out and he prays to God. And he says, would you send this man? Would you send this man back to us? And the angel comes again. And Manoah doesn't know that it is an angel from the Lord. Now I'll tell you folks that very honestly, I don't expect you to be praying, and I really don't expect me to be praying and to entertain literal angels in the fashion that Abraham did and that the father and mother of Samson did. You're going to say to me, well, you know, the Bible talks about that. That's right. And I think the difference is that Abraham was right in the center of the plan of redemption for the world, that he was a special character on the stage of the world, and therefore God did deal with him as he dealt with Samson and his parents in a special way. I think the point of this passage is, dear friends, that we can expect special blessing to occur when we are willing to entertain strangers. Let me give you a little illustration or example of this. The word angels is translated in other parts of the Bible simply as messenger. John the Baptist was considered a messenger from God. And the word angel is used with regard to John the Baptist. The pastors of the seven churches in the book of Revelation are called angels. They are messengers from God. And we can interpret the passage that way this morning. Several years ago, when we lived in Dallas, Texas, I had not been out of the army very long. And we were seeking God's will concerning future ministry. And a pastor from the Christian Reformed Church came. We didn't know him at all. And I remember very well his sitting in our den. And I was asking him questions about the Christian Reformed ministry. And he looked at me straight in the eyes and he said to me, do you believe in the doctrine of election? Irma's smiling because she remembers that. And as we went through those doctrines and he pointedly challenged me, that time changed my life and the direction of my life. It was a blessing that came in an unexpected way because of the hospitality shown to this man who was a messenger of God. That can happen. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And then in verse 3, the writer to the Hebrews goes on, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. One of the great neglected areas of ministry within the Church of Jesus Christ is ministry to those in prison. And I thank God, as I've said before, for the little bit that we can do through Westminster Evangelistic Ministries to minister to and help those in prison. But you know, as I looked at this text, and as I read a couple of commentaries and tried to work through it, the thing that came home to me most forcibly about this particular text was the fact that the writer to the Hebrews says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. Now, how am I to do that? How is that possible for me? Well, several years ago at a presbytery meeting, I stood up and spoke a few words. And the reason I did was the presbytery was talking about the need of identification cards for the ministers in the presbytery. And so Denny, who stands up and puts his foot in his mouth on a regular basis, stood up and I said something like this. You know, I said, I really think I need an identification card because I'm having a hard time getting into prison. Okay. Well, the fact of the matter was that I couldn't get into KSIR because I didn't have an ID card and I wanted to visit someone. For some people, it's very easy to get into prison. And you know, folks, all it would take is one slip on the part of any one of us, and we too could be in a similar circumstance. It wouldn't take much for that to happen. And as I contemplated that, I realized a little bit more fully what sin is all about. Because sin is a prison house. And anyone who has been addicted to something knows that that's the case. And the only release from sin that an individual can have is Jesus Christ. And so any Christian who understands the nature of sin and the nature of their own sinfulness realizes that they too can remember those who are in literal prisons as though in prison themselves. And then finally, the writer to the Hebrews gives us this, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Under the heading of love, once again, the writer to the Hebrews says we are to remember those who are ill-treated. And this might mean physical ill-treatment, as the saints of old experienced. For example, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 37, look at this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 37, describing the incredible physical ill-treatment experienced by the saints of old. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Absolutely astounding. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who suffered ill treatment in the gulags of the Soviet Union and wrote about it, came to this country then. And he was rather a celebrity when he came to this country because he was a man who suffered persecution in the Soviet Union. But then he came to this country, and lo and behold, when he began to talk about the things of God and the need for a nation to turn to the living God, the media shunned him, and he suffered ill treatment because of his faith in Jesus Christ. That ill treatment may not only be physical ill treatment, but it may also be mental and emotional ill treatment. And any one of us, because, dear friends, we are in the body right now, Because we are individuals who are living in this world, we're not out of the body. You know, the Apostle Paul speaks about the time when we will be out of this body. We will die and we will be separated from this body and enter a time and a place which is full of glory and splendor. But yet in this body now, we understand, do we not? Do you understand what it means when someone harshly attacks you and you suffer emotionally because of that? I understand that. I really do understand that. And I also understand a little bit of physical pain, as some of you do. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, remember the prisoners as those as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. Well, there are four short exhortations given to us this morning. And friends, they are given to us as directions on how to live in the unshakable kingdom of God. And you know what? Those exhortations are not drudgery at all. Do you think they are? No, not at all. They should be to us a great joy. And it should be to you as you contemplate verse 1. Let love of the brethren continue, you should say to the living God. Here is a place where I can show gratitude to you, Lord, in living this way. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Here's another place, Father, where I can show gratitude to you because of your love to me. Remember the prisoners. Yes, in this too, Father, I can show gratitude to you by working on it. And remembering those who are ill-treated, O Lord, fill my heart with your Spirit so that it is my joy to do these things and to live before you as a member of the unshakable kingdom.